sure appreciate you guys rallying around each other and ministering to us and caring for us. You guys did a great job. Mr. Sonny, how's it going?
Well, I'm here. Thank God.
Praise the Lord, brother. We're just glad to have you.
Well, I'm glad this can be here.
So how are you feeling?
How am I feeling?
You can be honest with us. You're with family.
I feel great.
Praise the Lord.
I feel very thankful.
Yes.
I'm sure it's not as bad as it could have been. I'm thankful for that, too.
Okay.
I got my bucket that I was telling some others about that I keep throwing little nuggets in and say, well, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. One of the things I told Kim was, I said, see, if I hadn't had a broken ankle, the congregation probably wouldn't have gotten to hear Pastor Garris sing like they did.
That's right. That's right.
I was very thankful for that.
Yes.
I was listening to the media tape, you know.
Yes, sir.
And that. So I'm thankful to be here.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, we sure are thankful to have you, brother, and we miss you tremendously, and it's not the same without you.
Not the same without you guys.
Yeah. Well, we are thankful you're feeling better and thankful that you're seeing God's hand work through it. That's a blessing. And then the last one I think that you were talking about is having the opportunity to let Pastor Gary and his dad sing together. Now, somebody had asked me about it. Did you videotape? Did I see you videotaping or picturing?
No, she videotaped.
You videotaped it, and then you were videotaping Othello?
Yeah, I have her, and I had a line with both of them.
Okay, because somebody was asking me about it today, and I can't remember who. Either today or yesterday. I can't remember.
I was in Diane. I sent it to Joy.
Oh, good. Good. Okay, because somebody was asking me about it, so.
If you let me know, I'll try. It's a large file, so
right.
It takes a little bit to send it, but I'll be glad.
Maybe it could be better over email. What do you think? Sometimes phones can't send it as easy, right?
Well, I don't know. To Joy,
okay.
I created a link, and
yes.
It was able to go through Messenger to her. So.
You're far more advanced than I am.
I'm thinking about putting it on YouTube, so then anybody that wants.
No, don't put it on YouTube. You're gonna get us in trouble.
You can keep it private. You would only be able to look at it.
Don't, no.
No. Gary would get upset.
We're just gonna honor Dad. Let's just honor Dad.
Anybody that wants to call me.
Yeah, let's just keep it that way. Yeah. Okay, so let's turn first to Proverbs. Look with me, and let's turn to Proverbs. Let's see here. Is it 20? 21. About 2 o'clock, as I was studying and preparing for tonight and thinking through how to best approach tonight, one of the things Pastor Gary asked for me to do was cover evangelism. Well, we've got a lot to cover evangelism about, because if we're going to talk about evangelism, we got to talk about it in today's present climate. We got to talk about it and what's going on today. So that's what we got to talk about. And hopefully, as we talk through some of this, this is just going to shore the body up. Hopefully, this strengthens the body in faith tonight. And as you leave here tonight, you leave here a little more solidified. That's the hope. I know last Wednesday, as Pastor Gary covered some of the things that were going on, it was a strengthening time for the church. So hopefully tonight we'll also just complement that time as we begin to just tune out what the world is saying. And we just, what does the Word of God say? Now, let's see what the Word of God says. Now let's look back through those eyes. And then we can see things a little more clearly about what's going on in the world as well. We're just going to let truth be the guide. Before, though, like I said, at 2 o'clock, we had an alert come over my phone. And one of the first ones it was just going to start shutting everything down. And at that point, I knew what I was going over. And so I just came before God humbly, and I just said, Lord, I said, and I was going through Romans 13, because I think Romans 13 is what a lot of people are tripping up about. And I said, Lord, you know that we don't want to be like some who've become belligerent. We don't want to take advantage of folks. Lord, we want to obey and honor you. And at the same time, we have to be humble and humility, humble to accept whatever consequences may come. Because we're going to honor both. Sometimes honoring is accepting the consequences that may come from honoring God. That is going to be honoring the authority, is that we're not going to fight back. So I just said, Lord, you're going to have to protect us. You're going to have to lead us through this time. But we know that we want to obey and follow you first and foremost. As I read some of it, at first church was not on there from the News for Jacks that I read through. Church wasn't on there. I said, okay, Lord, we're just going to have to trust you. We're going to walk by faith, and we're going to trust you. As I pulled up in the parking lot, another alert came, and towards down at the bottom, I saw where it said church. And so I said, okay, so now we're essential. As I was in here, but I didn't read a whole lot of it, and it was still, you know, logistics. And I just said, Lord, we're just going to trust you, and we're going to walk by faith, and we're not going to be arrogant about this and think we got this under control, because, Lord, we don't. We're just going to follow you, and we're going to obey you by faith, and we're going to keep putting our trust in you. We believe that is going to be loving our neighbor. We believe that is going to be elevating you. We're saying we trust you, and you're going to take care of us, and you're going to take care of man. We believe that. We believe that. With that being said, I come into the church, and I was preparing, and then Hina, you come in. I had no idea. I didn't hear anything about this other newspaper clipping. But obviously, we're now in the Sentinel in Orlando that church is essential. There's still some other guidelines, and we're going to talk through those too. But that just to give you the definition of essential, because I already had that at the top of my paper before all this even came out today, because man is telling us what's essential. Grocery stores, gas stations, liquor stores are on the essential list, which I'm scratching my head about that one. That's all we need is nobody with anything to do getting intoxicated. That's all we need. Right, and anxiety on top of it. Anyhow, the definition of essential is of the utmost importance. So what each believer has to come back to is what's essential to them. I believe that Scripture tells me in Matthew 6:33 to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, we know in that chapter He's talking about shelter, clothing, financial needs, everything, but the principle is still the same. Seek first His kingdom. I know in Hebrews it will tell us in chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling, how's it worded? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. So forsaking yourselves together, that seems to be more of a personal statement. It's not necessarily a dictatorship. It is more of an individual decision, not forsaking yourselves together. So in each one, it's almost a personal statement. You're going to have to make this decision by faith. You're going to have to make a decision. The way Pastor Gary taught with us last Wednesday, and if I know him, if I know him very well, as we were all preparing tonight, he was praying for us. I can guarantee it. I know he was. And his mom and his dad probably were as well. But I know we were going to be heavy on his heart, because that's who he is. One of the things he talked about last week was he laid out some principles very clearly. And he purposely said, you're going to have to choose. But a pastor's job is to tell you what the Word of God says. At that point, we're not going to stand in front of God with you. For instance, when you pass away, or i.e. the trumpet sounds, you're going to be standing in front of God by yourself. Each man has to make his own choice. Each man has to choose. Now, what we can tell you is, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what I'm going to do. So when you think about a shepherd and sheep, and the shepherd says, Now, ultimately, Christ is the ultimate shepherd, the head shepherd. He says, this is where we're going. This is what I'm doing. And he talks to the sheep and he says, okay, we're going this way. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the deception of the evil one. One of the sheep says, that looks dangerous. I don't want to go there. And the shepherd says, I understand, but I got you. I want you to come. And that sheep goes, nah, I'm not going that way. And the shepherd goes, we're going this way. And the shepherd starts to go. And those sheep start to follow. And let's just say one of those sheep, or let's just say individuals, decide we're not going to be in that sheepfold. When are the sheep the most vulnerable to the wolves? When? When they're alone. That's when they're the most vulnerable. When they're alone. It's no accident that we are in a time that things seem obscure. The evil one is very cunning. Genesis would tell us he is the most cunning serpent of all. Cunning. Very deceptive. It is like him, if you'll turn me to Ephesians 6. And I'd like to look at some scriptures tonight. And it is in verse 12. There'll be a statement against the world forces of darkness. But just to give you the whole verse, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's man. That's not our battle. Battle's not against the government or other men that may even attack us because we're not doing what they do. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. This word will almost tie into angelic powers, angelic beings, and powers. So angelic beings that are very powerful, working in a spiritual realm that we can't see. Now, we know Daniel 10 will give us insight in this. Revelations 12 will also give us insight into this. Daniel 10, where he says, where they believe to be Christ appears to Daniel. And then they have Gabriel and the archangel Michael, and he says, we're fighting against the prince of Persia, and we're going to battle. And we gave you this vision of chapter 11 in Daniel. So we know that there's spiritual forces of darkness at work in whole nations. But it'll tell us in 12 specifically, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. That word darkness, to give you an idea of what it means, it is obscurity. It's obscurity. Let me put it another way. Not clearly seen. It is like the evil one to so twist and work things in such a way. And God has given him the power to do it. But what we have to remember is that this is really a time of purging, a time of refining, a time of testing, a time of revealing who's truly his, who truly believes. He begins to shake things, and he allows them to do it, a lot like Job. But it's going to purify those who are his. It's going to give those that have put their trust in the wrong things an opportunity to come to him. But these world forces of darkness, obscurity, things aren't completely clear. Is this okay? Is this not okay? This is good. This isn't good. Love your neighbor. You're not loving your neighbor. It's not clear. None of it's clear. The evil one purposely will want that. And as you begin to listen to all these noises of the world, and as you begin to let them direct you, rather than the Word of God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself wondering, doubting. You're going to find yourself going, scratching your head. And to be honest, I think that's where almost every one of us were last Wednesday. That's where a lot of us were, at least. I can't speak for all of you, but I think there was a lot of us scratching our heads. This came a blind punch. You didn't see this one coming. It came out of nowhere. I think a lot of people were scratching their heads, and praise the Lord that the Lord did strengthen Pastor Gary to stand firm and elevate truth. And as we left here last Wednesday, we left here on solid ground. We're left here stronger in the Word of God, stronger in the faith. Solidify. So praise the Lord for that. But it doesn't mean that all of us are. There's still confusion out there. So the hope tonight is just to continue to re-solidify these things, but through the eyes of evangelism. So my point to you in point one, we shouldn't be surprised that things are downright confusing out there in the world. World forces of this darkness. That's who our battle's against. So what will make things clear? It's going to be the Word of God. That's what's going to make it clear. So that's what we got to keep coming back to. What does the Word of God say? We also got to come back to faith. We also got to come back to, Lord, I don't know how all this is going to work out, but I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to trust you. You're the only hope I have. Where else will I go? You alone have the words of life. Where else will I go? So first and foremost, the first point I wanted to make is things are going to be obscure. It's the evil one. And I'll show you another verse. 1 John chapter 5. And it'll be verse 19. And my point is, there's many other verses where I could go where it talks about the deception of Satan. So Genesis 3. Go to the temptation in the wilderness with Christ. Does he not challenge Christ? Does he not? Does, if you are who you say you are. If you are who you say you are, do this. First, he will appeal to appetite. Second, he will try to use riches or the greed of man to try to pull Christ. Third, he'll use pride. If you are who you say you are, throw yourself down. Prove yourself. In Genesis 3, does he not even say, did God say? Did he say that? That's not going to happen to you. As soon as you eat from it, you're going to be like God. This is a crafty serpent. So should we expect things to be clear out there in the world? No. No, we come back to truth. We come back to Scripture. We come back to faith. That's where our firm foundation is. Things out there are going to get obscure, and chances are they're going to get more obscure as time goes on. Look at verse 19 with me. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's influence. The whole world is under the influence of the evil one. We can look at Ephesians chapter 2. The prince of the power of the air, which is now working in the sons of disobedience. Okay? So we're talking about things aren't going to be clear. If you're looking at the world for answers, you will not find them. We have to come back. We're Christians. We got to come back to Scripture. We got to come back to faith. We got to come back to Christ. That's where we're going to find our solid ground to stand on. So the first point I wanted to make tonight, it may be confusing, and the reason why it's confusing is chances are because you're listening to the world. And chances are there's some fear somewhere, and maybe you're not being quite honest that there's some fear there. It happens to all of us. Maybe you're not being quite honest with yourself that there's some fear somewhere, and you're getting worked up. And because of that, and because you're listening to the world, confusion is setting in. Okay? So what we need to do is take a step back. Go, okay, Lord. What does the Scripture say? I believe in you. I believe in who you are. I've received your Son as my Lord and Savior. I'm taking a step back. But first, we have to be honest with ourselves. So first point, there's going to be confusion out there. I get it. It's changing from day to day. I get it. Come back to Scripture. Let Scripture be your guide. Walk by faith. That's where you're going to find comfort. That's where you're going to find clarity. Now, the second point I wanted to make is, what is the purpose of the church? So this is what we got to nail down. We got to nail down some truth. Truth is where we're going to find our solid ground. So the purpose of the church, I think this is getting confused as well out there. And if we're talking about evangelism, sharing the good news. So evangelism is sharing the good news, right? Okay, we first got to figure out, okay, who are we again? Right, we're the body of Christ, but we are supposed to be doing something. And right, witness and gospel. But all of that is true, which is coming back to truth. So turn me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And he's going to nail down who the church is. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So first we got to step back and we got to go, wait a minute. Okay, government's, and my point in this, and we're going to cover it, government's got their role. World's going to do what they're going to do. World's fickle. They're going to change. Trust me. Just depend on what age bracket you're asking. You know, well, we don't got to worry about this. We got to worry about it. We don't got to worry about it. You got to do this. We don't got to do that. It's going to change. Okay? And now the government is on their track, which we know that. If I can put it to you this way, it's like we're running parallel. But let me say this. One's not going into eternity. One is. The church is going into eternity. Man's government is not. It's not saying that there won't be Christian men in the government. Lord willing, they put all their trust in Christ, not their own wisdom. They'll go into heaven. But the track that we're on, if in a way, the best way I can explain it is we're running parallel. They have their purpose. The church has their purpose. So we got to come back to who we are. What is our job? Let me put it another way. What has been given as our directive? What's our directive? And that's going to be 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, i.e. the family of God, which is the church, the called out ones, of the living God. He's alive and well and reigning and powerful. The pillar and support of the truth. There's our job. We're the pillar and support of truth. That word pillar is like a column. Another way I saw it explained is a local church collectively maintaining the doctrines of faith by teaching and practicing. That's us. It's almost like a bulwark, because that's really what support's going to tie into. Have you guys ever seen a, Don, what are those things on the intercoastal, and they're the walls, and they hold all the land back in?
Bulkhead.
In a way, you know how sometimes you'll see the pylons? That's the pillar. All those boards against that pylon, that's the support. So the pillar is deep down in there holding in. And those pylons are working together with the pillars, and they're holding all that truth up in there, and they're not letting any of it out. They're not letting any of that truth escape. That truth can't escape. And he says, you're the pillar and support of truth. That's who the church is. So we got to come back to who we are. Who are we? We're the pillar and support of the truth. What is the truth? All of what Scripture contains, but more than that, that the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God loves you. That He sent His Son to die for you. And our God is still here, and He has not deserted you. And that He is here and available if you want to turn to Him. He's waiting for you. He's knocking at the door. We're the pillar and support of that truth. Now, for all those that have come to Christ, there's going to be a conduct that they carry with them, because that's a representative of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that's now motivating them. But we are a pillar and support of truth. Now, one of my other points were, what is the purpose of the government? Let's turn into Romans 13. This, I believe, is getting confused with Christians. I think that as Christians, we're trying to amalgamate what the government's job is and what the church's job is. We got two different jobs. We got two different jobs. We're not running on the same course. We're parallel, but we're not running on the same track. We got two different purposes. If you'll look with me in verse 4, for it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, are you ready? Underline it. An avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. That's the government's job. They're to be bringing wrath on those who practice evil. That's a part of their job. Now, if we were to take today what's going on today, and we're going to look at Romans 13 because I think that's where a lot of confusion is coming from. And we're going to cover that here in a second, but I want to make this point. If we're talking about what's going on today with the government, and this isn't a point in trying to slander or bash, and by the way, slander means to make up false things about someone to tear down their character. All I'm going to do is just talk about what's going on. If truth offends people, some people think, well, you're being harsh, you're being aggressive. I'm just talking about truth right now, and if truth offends you, maybe you need to take a step back and ask yourself, why am I being so offended by truth? Where is the fear in your heart? Or where is the misperception, what you think is valuable? Because something's there. Point being, what's going on in the government right now is it seems to me that their main focus is to stop people from getting sick and to stop people from dying. If I had to sum it up, right? Now, maybe you may disagree. That's okay. We're allowed to disagree. This is just my thoughts on what I see going on. We want to stop people from dying, and we want to stop people from getting sick, or i.e. we want to stop people from getting sick, and we want to stop people from dying. Okay. You tell me anywhere in Scripture that God tells the church that's your job. I don't see it. Now, is this a good thing that they're wanting to do? It's not a bad thing. Is it a good thing? It's a good thing. They're trying to stop people from dying. Now, if I was just to give you some statistics, if the goal is to stop people from dying, then let's do it all the way across the board. I think the last time that I saw the statistics was 2016 for abortion was 623,000. They're vulnerable. They can't fight back. There is a pro-choice group that keeps track of it, maybe even better than the government. And they said in 2017, from what their records show, talking to individual states and towns, it was about 862,320, 2017 alone. Now, I'm not trying to tear down. It's not what I'm doing. I'm just trying to compare. That's all I'm saying. Okay, my point in this. The government at this point is saying, we want to stop people from dying. Okay, we understand that. I get it. But that's not the church's job. That's not the church's job. The church's job is to be the pillar and support of truth. Now, this takes faith. Now, let me back up here for a second because I can see the eyes. I can see the eyes. Let me back up here for a second. Turn me to, I guess the best place to look would be Deuteronomy 32. What if I told you that maybe we're fighting a losing battle on that front? We're going to stop people from dying. What if I told you that the Bible tells me, here it is again, we're just coming back to truth. Let's just come back to the Bible. The Bible tells me the wages of sin is death. What if I told you God knows what every individual needs in order to be humbled, to be brought to Him? I'm just talking faith. I'm just talking faith here. That's all I'm saying. Look at me in 32, verse 39. See now that I am He, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put, underline it, death, put to death, and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who will heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. That's the text. That's the text. Okay, so let's back up for a minute. We're going to go back to Romans 13 for a second. God has ordained all authority. And God has put them there. Well, what you also have to remember is that they're men. And they're not gods. And man at his best still falls short of the glory of God. At his best. Now, we're going to talk through this a little bit more. And I'm going to try to do it briefly because there's a few other spots I want to hit. Okay. And also, let me say this. Let's just say there's probably a bunch of things that compounded that got us to where we are today. Whether it was with the president, governors, or mayors. I still think that a part of it, not saying that this isn't a bad sickness. It's bad. People are dying. It's bad. Part of it came when it was coming. And I think a part of certain people in certain groups thought, well, this president isn't going to do anything. He's going to try to steamroll this thing like he does everything else, and we're going to nail him to the wall for it. But he didn't. He started caring. He says, well, let's do something. Let's try to do something to stop the spread. I believe he tried. Also believe as they started going, then they go, whoa, wait a minute. The economy's crashing. What are we going to do now? We're just going to pump money into the economy, which I don't even know where that's coming from. Okay? I don't. But it just goes to show you in Ecclesiastes, there's a money for answer. Money has an answer for everything according to man. So how are we going to fix this? Let's just start giving them a bunch of money. And you don't go to work and you stay home, but you work and you... It's very confusing. I believe he started to do something. And then they realized that was going to happen, so now they got to try to fix that with what? Money. And then it continued to spread, and God is sending a very clear message to man, you're working really hard to try to stop people from dying. And they can't control it. And it's another testimony to man. You don't control anything. Work very hard, try very hard, make all your rules. They're still dying. Because Scripture says the wages of sin is death. It also tells me in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, guess what? That's good news. I know the world, and some of you may be scratching your head and you're going, I don't see how that's good news. I'm going to tell you it's good news. Because it's the kindness of God that didn't allow man to live forever in his sin and his arrogance. And hurting and berating and belittling and attacking and hurting himself and other people over and over and over forever. It's the kindness of God. It's the kindness of God that allows man to get to the end of his rope and God is still there. I haven't gone anywhere. Cry out to me. So we have a government that's preaching one message, sharing one message. We're trying to stop people from dying. This is the time for the church. This is why the church is so important. Because the government's not sharing this message. I've heard our mayor and our governor and even our president and our vice president at different times. I can't help but to think that maybe these men are in a place now where they feel like if we share this message, we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe fear is holding them back. I know at one time they would all talk about pray and prayer, prayer, catchphrases. But maybe these men are in a position now that they've gone so far that they feel like, well, I can't say it. This is why the church is so important. This is why you're so important. Because those men are in a place where they feel like they can't. But God has now given us an opportunity to proclaim the message. We're trying to stop people from dying. We're trying to save souls. You're fighting a losing battle. We're fighting the winning battle. So go back to Romans 13. Let's see if we can clarify some of this. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. The word of subjection means to obey. That's what it means. You're exactly right. But the problem with this is most people do not read past verse 1. They don't read the whole paragraph, and they get stuck here. And they get stuck in this washing machine effect of confusion. So let's see if we can clarify. Therefore, whoever resists authority, now there's your key word. Do you want to know what that means? It means to battle against. Let me put it another way. We're going to fight against the authority. Nobody's fighting here. We're not fighting. We're desiring to honor and obey God and hold His name up and that gospel message up to the highest it can. But we're not going to fight the consequences that may come. We're not. If they were to walk in the door now and put cuffs on me, I'd say, okay, I understand. I'd say, can we at least close in prayer? And I'd pray for them. I'd say, tell Michelle, I'll call her when I get a chance. And I'd say, we're not fighting back. But we're going to continue to worship God. And we're going to be willing to trust God through this, that He has a plan through this. We don't know how or what or when, but we know He's got a plan. So we're going to keep reading. Therefore, whoever resists, whoever fights back authority, has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So if we start fighting back, if they come in here and I say, you're not taking me, and I try to fight with them, now I'm breaking this. But instead, I willingly turn around and I say, it's okay, I understand. And they put me in the car and they go, you're not fighting back. I go, that would be against God. I can't. I understand you're doing your job. And I want you to, because God has a plan through this. You don't think that's going to work on that police officer's heart? You throw us in jail. You don't think those correction officers are going to see people that are, that something is real? They didn't break any laws, and you're willing to suffer for this? Corrections officers, prisoners, maybe there's some in there that think, I'll never be able to get close to God. So I might as well stay down this road of bad. And just by way of thinking, if they take us all to jail, the very thing they're trying to do, well, we're just going to have church in jail. I'm just saying. Think about it. Yeah. We're going to tow, bring the paddy wagons in. Yes, sir. The very thing you're telling us not to do, you've now done. Is this not God's wisdom? Think about it. That jailhouse is going to be praising. We're going to see a revival up in the jailhouse. I'm serious. All I'm saying is I'm just play it out. Play it through. Just play it through. Play it through. Verse 3, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. Are we doing bad behavior? I just want to honor God. Judge, didn't we tell you not to come together? Your Honor, I understand that. But I believe that putting God first is what's going to honor Him, and I trust He has a plan through all this. That's all I know. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. I just know that I trust God, and I'm going to do what He says because I believe He has a plan through all this. I don't know. You don't think that's going to hit Him funny? I mean, how often will we get in front of judges? How often will we get in front of prisoners? How often will we get in front of police officers and correction officers? How did Paul share the gospel with all those judges, with all those high ups in the Romans and the Jews? How did he get to? He had to get arrested. But did Paul fight back? No, he didn't. But did he stop preaching the gospel? No, he didn't. So we keep going. We're not doing evil behavior, so we have no reason to be afraid because we believe God has a plan through this, whatever it may be. All right, do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. Now let's stop here for a second too. I'm hearing word that we got some standing up and they're taking advantage of people in churches. and they're selling or giving away healing handkerchiefs and things like that. That's exploitation. That's wrong. That's bad behavior. They better be expecting to get in trouble. I'm also hearing of belligerence. And just to give you the definition of the word belligerent, it's inclined to assertiveness, hostility, combativeness, basically starting a fight. We got some churches out there that are going down the road belligerence. That's not what we're going to do. That's not the goal at all. The goal for us is, Lord, I just want to put you first. As you give me opportunities to share this gospel, I want to do that. And I'm willing to accept whatever consequences may come because I trust you have a plan through this. And you're going to do good through this, Lord. I don't know. I just trust you. I'm just going to trust you. That's all I know to do. It's all I can do. It's all I know to do. So we're not going to go that way. That's bad behavior. And if you do bad behavior, then you better get in trouble. But is it possible that if we do this thing right, if we do this thing right with humility and devotion to God with humility and praying for these leaders and praying for the different ones and desire to honor God and share this gospel, if we do it right, is it possible, according to this verse, we may get praise? Well, there's some churches that are doing it right. And there's some that are doing it wrong. But that church is doing it right. I want to be the church that does it right. Verse 4, the verse we read already. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. That's what the government's supposed to be doing. Now, I can't always say that that's what they've done. There's plenty of bad things still going out and bad men getting off. But at the same time, I can't say the church has always done what they were supposed to do either. So, point being, this is their purpose. They're to be avenging and bringing wrath on those who practice evil. That's their purpose. Now, if we go into verse 5, therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, so it's going to be about your conscience. You want to keep your conscience right. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God. That word servant of God is not the word diakonos, which would be deacon. It's actually the word where you would get liturgo, a public servant. That's where that word would come from. It's not the diakonos. Rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Now look at verse 7. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Okay, with that being said, let's see if we can consolidate this thing. We got to put it into context. We got to remember that there is an apostle named Simon the Zealot. And this Simon the Zealot was a part of a political party in Jerusalem. And this political party, these guys were deadly. They were trained killers. They would purposely try to sabotage different things in the Roman government to try to overthrow it. This is one of the apostles. This is actually one of the ones that Christ would call to come and follow him. He wanted this man because he saw Simon's heart. Simon wanted to fight for a cause, but he was fighting for the wrong cause. He wanted to fight to make sure that God was honored. And Jesus says, if you want to make sure God is honored, come follow me and I'll teach you how to do it. We'll be saving lives, not killing lives. So we got to remember those different sects in that time, which we know we're coming out of Jerusalem, but we know we're talking to Rome at this time. So we know in a way that there can be an arrogance that a Christian could have. We read Romans 15, or actually 9 through 11, that he can think he's all that and he doesn't answer anybody and he's going to work real hard to overthrow the government because he didn't like what the government's doing. So in a way, what we're seeing here is understand that you're supposed to, everyday life affairs, honor the government. You should. Pay the taxes. Another one you can think of, custom. Stand up for the Star-Spangled Banner. Stand up for the Statue of Liberty. Show honor to that custom. Don't be arrogant and prideful. Show honor to the custom. Pay your taxes, no matter what they say. Fear to whom fear. This is more of one that strikes terror. If the police officer's coming in, I'm not going to be arrogant and condescending to this police officer. Fear to whom fear? Honor to whom honor? When Obama was in office, we may not have agreed with his policies, but we tried really hard not to dishonor the office. We understood that he was in office. Now, let me also add this tidbit in there. If you think Obama was still in office, all these churches would be doing what they're doing? I just don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just things I think about. Back to my point in Romans 13 to make sure we can clarify some of this. Because the thought is we're going against Romans 13. There is the authority of Christ. And if I take you to Matthew 28, if you'll turn there with me, and we'll let the scriptures define it. Verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to who? Christ. In heaven and where? On earth. So God is obviously in control. Christ is obviously in control. So, for instance, this is something I talked about some other day. The government tells you, you can't come together. You don't think the Roman government was telling that to the New Testament church? Go back and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You don't think they wanted Christ speaking? They were telling the Christians, I don't want you coming together. Just to put this into perspective for you and I, if you were to read the first chapter of the Fox's Book of Martyrs, who do you think was persecuting the New Testament church? The Roman government. What were they? They did not want them worshiping. They did not want them getting together. Stop getting together. Peter and John would say, if we obey God, obey you, you be the judge. What they're saying is obey God, obey you. We're going to let you judge, but we're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep coming together because we love God, and we're going to trust that God has a plan through this. So is it possible that God was so allowing that government to do what they were doing so that that spread of Christianity would go further, maybe into places that the Christianity would not go typically? Okay, so if we were to go in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, let me just add this. They were going into towns, into Christian homes. How did they know who was Christian? Because they would just watch the house on Sunday, who's going to church. Let's go into that one. They would go into towns. They would start a bonfire in the middle of the square. They would drag out women, children, men. And they would say, denounce Christ. Stop. They don't want them coming together. Or we're going to throw you in this fire. They would literally burn them alive. There was some that would break free. They say, you don't even got to throw me. I'll go willingly. And they ran into the fire, screaming along the way. It is believed that when Andrew was being crucified, that he hung there for days. And every passerby, the Roman government nailed him to the cross, by the way. He was screaming and yelling out, God loves you. Turn to the Lord. Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they're doing. It is believed that James, the brother of Christ, when he was dying and they threw him out of the temple, that he was on his knees saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And someone came by with a club and ended him. So I guess my point in all this is, let's get to another point. This New Testament church Christians were being dragged out of their homes and thrown into fires because they were coming together to worship Christ. Now, let me put this in parallel. We hear about a virus and we stop coming together. I don't know about you, but I want to honor my brothers and sisters that came before me. I want to honor them. They paved the way. When I get to heaven, I want to know I didn't let them down. Now, I'm going to fail and fall many times. But are we going to let fear run our lives? So, to bring some of these things into the Romans 13, there is a greater authority, and that is Christ. And Hebrews 10 is very clear, not forsaking the assembling together as some may. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I first and foremost have to do that. Now, I know I'm hearing a lot of stuff talking about, well, you're supposed to be loving your neighbor. Last time I checked, first commandment's first. I believe that as I do the first commandment, that is going to be loving my neighbor, because my neighbor is going to be able to see what's truly valuable in their own lives. I can't love my neighbor first if I'm not practicing the first commandment, and that is loving my Lord God with all my heart, strength, and soul. I got to practice number one first. So if I'm not practicing number one first, I'm not going to accomplish number two. So if we're practicing number one, and that same neighbor that's attacking you, and let's just say they get sick, now what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go minister to them. But what if you get sick? I'm glad you brought that up. Turn me to Philippians chapter 1. All right, so just to recap.
I'm sorry, what?
Philippians chapter 1. Just to recap for a minute, because if I talk with different ones, and some of the confusion is, well, we're going against Romans 13. If I had to just kind of sum it up, that Romans 13, if I had to just say it, that's a worldly affairs. Tax to whom tax, custom to whom custom, honor to whom honor, fear to whom he fear. I'm going to honor the authority. So let me see if I can explain it like this. There's a first commandment that I'm going to love God with all my heart, and he tells me not to forsake the assembling. I'm not going to do that. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to tell you this is the way I see it being played out. And ultimately, you got to make your own decision. I'm going to do this. I'm going to love God. Now, this is honoring Romans 13. Are you ready? I come to go worship God. The bridges are open. I'm coming to worship God, and I come into the church, and I'm here, and we're preaching, and we're having service, and the police walk in the door. And they say, son, we told you not to come together. We're putting you under arrest. I say, yes, sir. I've just done both. I have honored God, and I have honored the authority. Why? Because I'm accepting the consequences of honoring God. I'm accepting the consequences. They say, you're under arrest. I say, yes, sir. And I go in front of the judge, and they say, we're going to throw you in prison for a year. I say, okay. I trust that God has a plan in all this. I trust him, and I just got to let him fix it. I got to let him work it out. I got to let him work his plan. But I'm the vessel. But if I first don't obey God, I never even get to be a part of his plan, because I let fear detour me. See, so first and foremost, I get to do both. I get to honor God, and I get to honor the authority, because I do not put up a fight. I don't start wrangling with them. I don't start jousting with them. I say, yes, sir, because God has a plan through this. Just like how God threw Paul in prison. How many times? He says, I'm going to keep preaching. And they throw him in prison, and the Philippian jailer gets saved, and the whole Philippian church gets born. God has a plan. We have to trust him. This is evangelism. We got to trust God. And we got to keep following him, and we got to keep obeying him, and we got to trust no matter what happens. Let me make another point. Here in America, we're spoiled. We are spoiled. We haven't had to face anything like this. Yes, ma'am. Okay. We haven't had to face anything like this. They say we haven't seen anything like this since World War II. But this is different, because that was a war. This is a virus. We haven't had to face any kind of persecution, really. A little bit at work. Maybe some from our family, and it hurts. Maybe some from our neighbor. But we're talking about a whole nation. We haven't had to face anything like this. We're spoiled. That New Testament church paved the way for us. Those early New Testament saints. I don't want to let them down. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Well, yeah. Right. If the person doing evil, so we're also dealing with the theme of Romans. Their weakness was that we're going to do stuff to prove our righteousness. But the person by faith says, no, I'm going to do good, and I'm going to honor that authority. I want to tax, no problem. We're not going to be the zealots and fight back against them. But is he talking to the evil ones? I say there's a warning to those that are doing evil. I would say it's a warning. Yeah. But also know that he's talking to the saints too. So there's a warning to those that practice evil. What do you want your question again?
Verse 4.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Summed it up there. He's talking mm-hmm. about if you're going to do evil and
not be afraid.
And not, you know, respect authority.
Right. Right. That's why I said, right. That's why I brought up churches that are doing it the wrong way. I'm not trying to slander. I'm just stating what's happened. If that's offensive, then you're offended by truth. Okay. So I'm just stating when you do it the wrong way, you better be afraid. But I'm not afraid, because if I know if I do this with the right heart, God, that was a part of how I opened up today and at 2 o'clock when that thing went off. I prayed and I was going to share with you guys how we can pray in this way. Lord, I want to honor you and obey you. And I know this is being said, but Lord, I trust that you have a plan through this. May I do this in a humble, in a way that is in humility, that looks like you. For instance, when they come and drug Christ off, did he fight back? No. Okay. So if they come to drag us off, we're not fighting back. We trust that God has a plan to elevate the gospel through us being in jail or wherever we are or fines. We have to trust God that he's got a plan through this. This is called faith. And that was the reason why I brought that up. If you're going to do things the wrong way, you better be afraid. But if I do it right, desire to please Jesus and obey God and do that first. I have to walk by faith and trust him. Lord, you got a plan in the middle of this. If they come, I trust you, but I'm going to obey you. And so we go, and then something happens. We're not afraid because we've already been talking to God about it ahead of time. And we're saying, Lord, we want to do this the right way. Lord, I'm your vessel. Use me as you will. And he's going to put us wherever he wants to put us. And we're going to preach wherever we are. If we're in jail, we're going to preach in jail. If we're in wherever they put us, we're going to preach wherever they put us in camps, whatever it is. So we're going to preach wherever they put us because we're not going to stop. I'm not going to stop preaching. Philippians chapter 1, back to my point. Let's say we're got some fear going, right? So just to recap, the purpose of the church as pillar and support of truth. That's what our goal is. Purpose of the government is Romans 13. They're avengers. They bring avengers on those who do evil. That's what they're there for. Okay? So we're on two different tracks. They're saying we're trying to stop people from dying. That's not what we've been directed to do. We're preaching the gospel, and we believe that saves souls. We believe that's what saves lives. Now, we're not trying to fight and wrestle anything like that. We're just on two different tracks. That's a part of my point. Now we're going into the realm of what if we get sick? Look at me in chapter 1, verse 21. What does it say? To die is gain. What am I afraid of? To die is gain. I'm just talking truth. This is the faith thing. For instance, like I said, the very neighbor that's harassing you, the world that's going to probably harass us. It's understandable. They don't understand. They think they're doing the right thing. They think that. They don't understand. So they're going to attack you. Guess what? Your neighbor gets sick. What are you going to do? This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to share that gospel. This is your opportunity. Yeah, but what if I get sick? To die is gain. Do you believe that or not? See, this is my point. 1 Peter, turn me to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to give you another one. This is a good one. And we're almost out of time, so I got to hurry. Now, we know 1 Peter was written, and also chapter 2 of 1 Peter, there'll be an opportunity to talk about honoring authority. You still want to honor authority. That is to say, I'm not fighting back against them. I'm willing to accept the consequences for honoring God first. So what Peter's telling them is don't be fighting back against them. Arm yourselves with the purpose to suffer. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Suffer in the flesh. We're going to follow Christ, and we're going to suffer in the flesh because we believe that gospel is going to be magnified. if we do it the right way. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now you see that word suffered? Underline it. And you see that word ceased? Underline that one. The word suffered there means to suffer death. Now you want to know what that word cease means? To be released from this body of sin. So you know what that's telling you? Dying is good news. It's like, I'm dying. Praise God. I'm getting out of this sinful body.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
When's the last time you lost your temper or snapped to somebody? I hate that. I won't do it anymore in heaven. I'm going to be out of my sinful body. How many times have you been selfish? Won't have that issue anymore.
Amen.
Think about it. I might even get my hair back. I think I will. I don't believe what Steve says. Because this is proof that it's dying. Follicles are dying. But that's okay. Because my joy is not in my hair. My joy is in Jesus.
Amen.
So my point to this is, my point to you is this. Why am I so afraid? What if I get sick? What if I die? Are you kidding me? Your card's been punched. You're going to heaven. Now that's what I told my 8 to 12s. Now, you should have seen my 8 to 12s, man. They were champs. I said, now let me tell you, a little Christian comes in that hospital, and that doctor and that nurse come in there, and you're looking at him going, don't worry about me. I need to share with you about the gospel. I got to share with you what I know. Don't worry about me. I got to share with you how important it is that you know Jesus Christ. It reminds you of Dr. Gordon, right? I got to share with you. You need to know. You need to know, Miss Othello. You need to know this. Yeah, I'm done. Stop. Just listen. Don't worry about me. You need to know there's a God who loves you and that Jesus died for you and he's waiting for you to come to him. He wants you to believe that. Would you be willing to do that today? Would you? Okay, my point is you don't think that God's going to... You're secure. You're on your track to glory. God wants you to minister in that hospital. But we got to come back to faith. It's God's will for me. God may not allow you to get sick. God may allow one of us to get sick and go into the hospital. That's God's will. I got to embrace that. I got to realize this is God's will. When Michelle was sick, I didn't think, it was that time we didn't know she was coming home. We thought it was spinal meningitis. But something in my heart, the Holy Spirit stirred in my heart. And as we're packing up on Kennerly Road, I said, there's somebody at that hospital needs to hear the gospel. Let's go. Because she was about to die because we don't go to the doctor. We just don't. I don't. But she was couldn't hardly walk. I said, we better go. But before you go beating me up, that nurse may not have been on shift the night before.
Amen.
Now, we get into that hospital. We get in there. And she starts asking us, do you smoke? Well, about 10 years ago. Do you drink? About 10 years ago. Okay, wait a minute. What's going on? We gave our lives to Jesus. This woman just starts crying. Tell me about that. We knew why we were there.
Amen.
This is my point to all of us. Back to my point originally with Romans 13, okay? I'm going to give these men the benefit of the doubt. I've heard some of these men talk about their church families, the ones in authority. It almost seems to me like at some point this snowball got so big that these men couldn't turn back. God's ordained that. God's also stirred in these men's heart to say, we're not shutting down the church. That came through today, and I just heard the news to this degree right before we came up here. What that's telling me is that God is so stirred in these men's heart that maybe they're at a time where they're feeling like, I feel like I need to say this, but I can't because I'm afraid if I say this, it's just going to set everything off. God has opened the door for the church. The government has their purpose. The church has theirs. And God is so ordained. This is your shot, church. Don't blow it. This is your shot. Don't blow it. Don't be belligerent. And don't take advantage of people. Don't do it that way. Stay humble. I don't know. I'm just going to trust God. And I'm going to go put him first today. That's what I'm going to do. Trust God there. Second, I can't be afraid if I'm going to die. Guess what? I don't care. I don't care. This Bible tells me to die is gain.
Amen.
We should look forward to the day. Isn't that the way Thessalonians ends? I can't wait to see him face to face. That's what I want more than anything. Isn't that what you want? Or is there a part of Lot's wife in us? Is there a part of us that's got Lot's wife in us, and that in a way we want to keep looking back because we don't want to let go of Babylon? We got to get real with ourselves, church. And we got to say, okay, Lord, I've got to admit to you, God, I've been afraid. But that needs to stop today. Got to stop today. The Bible tells me to die is gain. I believe that. Now I'm going to go minister. Now I'm strapping up. Now I'm going to minister. I believe that. When you take death, where is your sting? It's been swallowed up in victory. I believe that. Another key point that the world is not understanding, and then we'll close. We mentioned this. The wages of sin is death. Everyone's going to die. Let me put it another way. Everyone's body is going to die on this earth. It's going to. That's a part of the good news. This is why he would say repent and believe in the gospel. This is a part of the issue. Everyone's going to die. This is why the gospel is so important. This is why it's so important. And we'll close in Isaiah 45. And we're going to look in verse 7, because I quoted you the verse. We know that this is the book of Isaiah where they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So God knows each one what they need, right? Verse 5. I am the Lord, there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know, that men may become aware, from the rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. The one forming light, creating darkness. That's that word obscurity. It also means misery, destruction, and death. I've created this, causing well-being and creating calamity, evil, adversity, affliction. I've created it. He's created it for its purpose. I am the Lord who does all these things. Mankind has sinned. They have rejected God, just like every one of us at different times. This is why it's so important that mankind hears the message of the gospel from the church. You're all going to die. I don't care if you make it out of this one alive or not. You're still facing death, my friend. And you've lived a life and rejected God. Be honest. But he's still here. Now turn me, and you'll see the rest. Verse 20. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitive of the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idol. They pray to a God who cannot save. They worship him, whatever God it may be. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from old? Of old, who has long since declared it, is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God, watch this, and a Savior. There is none except me. Now, highlight 22. Mankind, you've sinned. Mankind, you've rebelled against God. Mankind, you've rejected God. And the wages of that sin is death. God knows what each individual needs when they need it to bring them to a place of brokenness and humility. Without brokenness and humility, one cannot receive Christ. It is very clear in the scriptures. When you look up the word repentance, if you go into Mark, it will say Jesus started to preach the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The word repent says to change your mind. It has a meaning to it. that unless one comes with contrition over their sin, they cannot even have access to believe in the gospel. They can't even have access. They have got to come broken in contrition and the realization that everything that I put my trust in, everything that I pursued has not kept me safe. Everything that I pursued has not sustained me. Verse 22 now comes into play. Turn to me and be saved. Who? All the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. There is no other. Turn to me and be saved. And it is also where we get in the Philippians text that to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance in verse 23. Turn to me and be saved. This is our chance, church. That's my point. So hopefully we clarified. You can do both. You can honor God and honor the authority. Part of honoring the authority is you're going to accept the consequences that come. Do I have fear? Why? Because I'm not trusting in God. I'm not believing to die is gain. Scripture tells me to die is gain. I believe that. Third thing, last thing. Mankind has sinned, so death is inevitable. But there's hope if you'll be willing to turn to a God who loves you. So my last statement is this. Guess what? God's still here. It is like man to have the tendencies. If there is any option available to mankind, and I learned this with Michelle's father, if there was any option at all, mankind will take it. If there's any option he thinks that he can use to somehow find fulfillment or to somehow find hope, he's going to take it. And the kindness of God does this. He stands back and he says, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll still be here when you're done. And mankind goes, I may find happiness in this, and he chases it. And it doesn't bring happiness. He chunks that, and he chases this one. And then he gets sick, and then he goes, well, maybe this treatment will work, or maybe this treatment will work, and that doesn't work, and that doesn't work. And in the middle of the night, 2 days before his death, God spoke to him. Without me, without Michelle, he gave us the privilege to actually serve and to care for him during that time. God spoke to him in the middle of the night, and we come over the next day, and he turns, and he can't even talk with tears in his eyes, and he says, it was all me. Everything was me. It was all my fault. I always blamed all of you, but it was me. He told me it was going to be okay, and I believe him. I believe him. 2 days later, he's gone. 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 My point in all this is, the government's on this trek, and they're doing what they feel they need to do. This is the window for the church to come in, because the government is not proclaiming the gospel. The church is. This is the window, and this is the opportunity we have. We're not going to be arrogant. We're not going to be belligerent. And we're going to stay humble. Say, no, sir, I'm just wanting to go worship God today. And we're going to be in Pinch of Pennies, and we're going to be in Walmarts, and there's going to be people that are afraid. And as the Lord wills and he gives you utterance, you speak to that person. And you share that gospel. And you let them know that they can have hope, and they can live a life and not have fear. And that they can be confident. And you share the gospel with them. But first and foremost, we got to be confident. First and foremost, we got to know where we're going. And we got to know who we are. And who we are is the pillar and support of truth. That there's a God who loves you. And even though you've rebelled against him, and even though you've rejected him, and even though you've done what you want to do in this life, he's still here, and he's still waiting to save you. All you got to do is receive him. That's who we are. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, we don't want to be arrogant. We don't want to be belligerent. Lord, we want to honor you, and we thank you that you stirred those kings' hearts like channels of water. Lord, you have vindicated us today. You have caused us to be victorious, and we rejoice in you, Lord, because you did that. Because the government was going towards trying to shut everything down, but you stopped it, which is proof positive. This is our window. Lord, we don't want to be arrogant. We want to be considerate. We want to be kind. We want to be loving. We want to be confident in what, Lord, we are confident in the Word of God. We are confident in you. We are confident in the work that you called us to be a part of, and we thank you for that. Lord, please keep us humble. Lord, keep us trusting in you. Lord, please reveal sin and weakness in our own lives. Lord, we want to watch what you're doing, and we want to declare tonight that we trust you. Lord, we know at times it's not going to be easy, but we pray you give us strength and endurance, Lord, that you accomplish your perfect will in us, Father. That's what we want. And Lord, we lay down and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.